Well, tonight we are continuing along in our series going through Numbers, Numbers 12 through 14, the wilderness journey of Israel. And our passage this evening comes from Numbers chapter 13, verses 25 through 33, the end of the chapter. So let's hear now from God's word. I'll be reading from verse 25 through 33. Hear the word of the Lord. At the end of 40 days, they returned from spying out the land. And they came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the people of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him, "We came to the land to which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. However, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the Negev. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the hill country. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the Jordan." But Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it." Then the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are." So they brought to the people of Israel a bad report of the land that they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone to spy it out is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people that we saw in it are of great height. And there we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, who come from the Nephilim. And we seemed to ourselves like grasshoppers. And so we seemed to them." This is the word of God. Let's pray and ask for his blessing on it. Lord, our God, we thank you for this word that you've given to us. Lord, we thank you that you've preserved your word to speak to us, to encourage and to build us up and to strengthen our faith. And I ask, Lord, that by your Holy Spirit, your word would strengthen us tonight. I pray, Lord, that you would speak through me and that you would build us up and encourage us in the faith and encourage us in all that the Lord Jesus has done for us. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. So last week, we had a little tour of the Promised Land. If you remember, the people of Israel have been now out of Egypt for 2 years, and they're on the doorstep of the Promised Land, the land that God has promised to bring them into. And at their request, the Lord allows them to send some spies into the land and to scope things out, to see what the land is like, what the people there are like, and to bring back a report. So the people go in, one man from each tribe. There are 12 men that go in, and as we learned last week, it was a land truly full of delight. It's full of fruit. The men bring back a bushel of grapes that they have to carry on two poles. And everything that they see reminds them that God is true to his word. He told them this is a land flowing with milk and honey, and indeed, that's what they see. And the Lord is abundant in his goodness. They're reminded. But here in our passage this evening, they return to Moses and to the congregation to give their report. And the report, there are two very different reports that are given of this land. One is fueled by fear, and the other report comes from faith. Now, as we're considering this passage, let's remember that we as God's people have been promised an inheritance. The Lord has prepared, the Lord Jesus said he went to prepare a place for his people. And so we, like the Israelites, are headed somewhere. We are headed to the Promised Land. to dwell with God forever. But as Paul reminded the Christians in Acts 14, through many tribulations, we must go into, we must enter the kingdom of God through many tribulations. Now, as the people here, as the spies go into the land, they see that there may be some challenges in going in this land. But that provokes them to great fear. And many of us struggle with fear. I think every person can identify with the experience of fear. So tonight, as we're looking at this passage, I want to ask you, what do you fear? What are the fears that occupy your mind? Maybe it has to do with the provision of finances. Maybe it has to do with the well-being of your children. Maybe it has to do with your relationship with your unbelieving neighbors or family. What is it that you fear? What are your fears? Well, in this passage, we see that fear has perspective. It creates perspective and a resistance in the people of God. First, let's look at fear's perspective. What's the perspective of the fear? Well, we see in the report of these 10 spies that that their perspective is dominated by the difficulties. So fear's perspective is dominated by the difficulties. Like the people come back and they report. They say, yes, it indeed is a pleasant land. It flows with milk and honey, and here's its fruit. But here are the difficulties. And then they go on. The people there are very strong. The cities are fortified. There are these great the people there in the Negev. The Amalekites are there. The Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites, they're in the middle of it. And then the Canaanites are on the sea on the east, and they're on the west on the east on the Jordan, and the west on the sea. So there's no place for us. About a quarter of this description, right, is about the goodness of God in this land, and three quarters of their perspective of this description is about the challenges, the people that are there. So fear's perspective is dominated by the difficulties. You know, as you think about situations in your life, as you're mulling over, you know, the week ahead, what dominates your perspective? Is it mostly occupied with the difficulties? Or are you thinking about the goodness and the provision of God? So it's dominated by the difficulties. But, you know, let me ask you a question. Why is this perspective, why is this fearful perspective so focused on these fears? Why do the fears dominate their mind and their words? Well, it's because the people have forgotten the power and the promises of God. And that's what happens. When we forget the power and the promises of God, we begin to be driven by our fears. In Psalm 78, which is the psalm that kind of recounts the journey of the book of Numbers, the psalmist says that they forgot, it says they did not remember his power or the day when he redeemed them from the foe. They did not remember his power or the day when he redeemed them from their foe. You know, as if they had been meditating as they were walking back from the promised land on how God had delivered them out of Egypt. Wow, do you remember what God did to Pharaoh and his armies? We were by the Red Sea and we thought, is God going to get us out of this? And he brought us through dry land and drowned the chariots of Pharaoh. God is powerful. Imagine if they had been meditating on that. How would that have changed their perspective? They forgot about God's power. They forgot about his redemption. How often do you forget, as you're thinking about challenges in your life, the things that you fear, do you forget or do you remember and think about God's power, the power that God demonstrated in Jesus on the cross and in his resurrection? You know, that's the same power that's at work in you, as Paul says in Ephesians. So their perspective is dominated by the difficulties. But lastly, as we're considering the perspective, I want you to notice, what have they left out? They have forgotten in their description. They've completely left God out of the picture. Not once, as they're describing in this chapter, do they mention God. Even as they're looking at the fact that the land is flowing with the milk and honey, there's no mention of the fact that God is making good on his promises. They've forgotten the promise of God. I remember at the beginning of verse 2, when the Lord spoke to Moses, and he said, "Send the men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I'm giving to the people of Israel, for each tribe of the fathers among them. Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the people of Israel." There's the promise. Send them to take a look at the land, which I am giving to you. When you forget the promises of God, you become dominated by fear. Remember the promises of God. Well, so that's fear's perspective. Now, because they've left out of the picture their God, because they've left out, they've forgotten the power and the promises of God, they become resistant to moving into the land. And that's what we see here. As Caleb says, "Let's go into the land," they say, "We are not able to go up against this people, for they are stronger than we are. Let's not go in the land. Let's stop our journey right here." And then they go on telling the others in Israel, "This is a bad land. Let's not make any moves into this land." So they resist God's call to them. And that's what happens when we are driven by fear. You know, if you're fearful about how someone's going to respond to the word, how someone at your work or maybe your neighbor is going to respond to the word, even though God has called us to give testimony to him, and you back off. Well, I'm not sure how people might respond. Christians often get mocked in our culture. When you are absorbed by your fears, then you begin to drag your feet in following the Lord. But they also notice in their resistance, they begin to stir up others against going into the land. And they say, they bring a bad report of the land. And now their report actually becomes distorted. This land, there's some grapes in there, but it devours up the people. You don't want to go into that land. It is a bad land. And those people, they're so big. I mean, we are like grasshoppers compared to these guys. Now, no doubt, these were probably some large men. And I want you I think it's important to note, was it true that the people in Canaan were big? Yeah, they were large. Was it true that the people were stronger than the Israelites, were physically stronger? Probably. But What have they forgotten? That the Lord is with them. That God is stronger than the Amalekites. God is stronger than those sons of Anak. And so they stir the people up against going. They discourage them from moving into the land. Now, think about, how do we talk with one another as we speak about the things that are happening in our lives, in our own personal lives, as we speak about the things that are happening around us? How do we speak? Do you speak words that discourage people from following the Lord, or do you speak words that encourage? You know, as we look around at our own culture and a lot of the violence and the division, as we speak, we can discourage one another. You know, we are just, our culture is just so far gone. It's just terrible what's going on out there. You know, we should just throw in the towel now. No. As the body of Christ, we're called to encourage one another. That's why throughout the New Testament, we see those words. Paul is always saying, encourage one another while it's still called today. In Acts 14, Paul, when he's in Lystra, and remember, Lystra is the place where Paul had been stoned. So he gets stoned, thrown out of the city, and then stoned. And then he gets back up. He's revived. They think he's dead. And he goes back into Lystra. And what does he say? What does he do? Guys, you know, it's maybe you should have second thoughts about following Christ, or maybe you should just get out of the town here. No, the Word of God says that he encouraged them to continue in the faith. And he said, for through many tribulations, you must enter the kingdom of God. There will be tribulations, but let me encourage you, because God, our God, your God is stronger than any of those tribulations. Your God is stronger than those who are persecuting and throwing stones at me. He encouraged them. So encourage one another as we talk about the events of your lives, as we talk about the things that are going on around us. Well, we've seen here in the 10 spies, we see the picture of fear. But in this chapter, we're also shown a wonderful example of faith in Caleb. And in Caleb, we see the confidence that comes from faith. Look at Caleb in verse 30. As the people began stirred up in fear, it says, Caleb quieted the people before Moses and says, let us go up at once and occupy the land. In this confidence, he says, let's act immediately and let's occupy the land. You know, he doesn't just say, well, you know, we may still be able to overcome these guys, but let's kind of take a pause here and kind of come up with a plan and see maybe if there's some strategy that we can come up with that perhaps might be successful. Let's go in at once and just occupy the land. For we are able to overcome it. Now, notice his words. He says, for we are able to overcome it. Now notice, first, he doesn't contradict the men. He doesn't contradict the description, per se. He doesn't say, let's go in at once, because actually, these guys are actually not very big. We're definitely, you know, we outnumber them, so let's just go in. He also doesn't say, let's go in because they may be big, but we are actually stronger than they are. He says, no, let's go and occupy it at once, for we are able to overcome them. That's confidence. But where is his confidence coming from? His confidence doesn't come in his own strength. His confidence is not in the fighting ability of the Israelites, but rather his confidence we see is in the Lord. The next chapter, as we read the next chapter, we're going to see when he gives up to encourage the people, he says, let's go in for the Lord is with us. We are able to overcome it because the Lord is with us. His confidence is not in himself. It's not in the Israelites, but his confidence is in the Lord. His faith is in the Lord because he sees, he knows, and he remembers the power and the promise of God. God is stronger than they are. You know, who gives us the ultimate example of faith in his God? It's the Lord Jesus. Isn't the Lord Jesus? Remember how the Lord Jesus came. And if anyone encountered tribulations, it was the Lord Jesus. But what does the writer to Hebrews say? For the joy set before him, he endured the trial of the cross. For the joy set before him. But his faith was in the power of God. John 16, Jesus is in the upper room talking with his disciples. And he says, the hour is coming. In fact, the hour has now come when you are all going to leave me. So the Lord Jesus, he's looking ahead at what he's about to do. And it's a great tribulation. And he says, you are about to leave. You will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. And I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Now Jesus says, I'm headed through a great tribulation. And from a humorous perspective, it looks like I'm going to be alone. But you know what? I am not alone because the Father is with me. And I'm telling you this, Jesus says, because you are also going to have tribulation in the world. But take heart. Because you are not alone if you are in me. Because I have overcome the world and I am with you. So what are your fears? What are the fears that you're facing this week? Take heart. Have confidence. Because Jesus is with you. And Jesus has overcome the world. And he will be faithful to bring you in to glory. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you and praise you that we do not have to go through life in fear. But we thank you that you, O God, are with us, Jesus. We thank you and we praise you that you are in us and that we are in you. And we praise you that you have overcome the world. We pray that you would strengthen us as we serve you this week, that we would remember who you are and who we are in you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.